Well, I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to all your family, friends, grandparents. That song, so many of you have had your first baby here. You know, when The Rock started, we didn't have any children. Last 5 years, 8 years, we've had almost 130. So we just produce babies here. It's just, it's magical. Children are extraordinarily special to God and to us and to each of you. And as that song, that cute little song about this precious baby, you know, children kind of turn you upside down. I have four, and now I have soon to be seven grandchildren. So in case you were wondering if I was just some 30-year-old kid, no, I'm not. The lights are deceptive. But it's always a privilege to have family and friends here for our baby dedication evening. So why don't we have those of you that are going to be doing this little ceremony tonight with your precious little baby, your moms and dads, why don't you come up on stage and we'll do our little dedication service. So if you want to come on up and stand right up here, there'll be plenty of room. And we'll just form the line down there if you'd like. Just go right on down there, meet in the middle, wherever, so everyone can see these precious babies. So we want to make sure we get everybody up here, right? So you can come down here just a little bit, I think, fill in the stage. There we go, just a little bit more. So I'm just going to go down and you introduce yourself and this little baby, okay?
I'm Ben, this is my wife Clarissa, and this is Gideon.
Gideon, little champion. And this is your first time parents, right? Congratulations, you two.
I'm Seth, and this is my wife Anne, and this is Dorothy.
Dorothy, and this is number three little girl for you, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. She's got some beautiful hair there.
I'm Corey, this is my wife Rachel, and our son Wesley.
Wesley, strong name. I have named after John, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be a little world changer. And this is your first, right? Of many. Of many.
I'm Josh. This is my wife, Holly. This is Connor.
Connor, and this is, you got two boys and a girl now, right?
Yeah.
All right. And we're going to keep going?
We'll see.
You're still thinking of, yep, we'll see. Okay, all right.
And my name's Adam. This is my wife, Stacy, and this is Amelia.
Amelia. And she is just a little petite little dolly. Amelia.
Like her sister, at the same
her sister, that's right. She came up for support, right? Moral support. Awesome. Okay. And
hi, I'm Brent, and this is my wife, Carmen, and this is Betty June.
Betty June. Hello, sweetheart. And her sister, right? Her big sister, Zoe. It's good to see you, darling.
My name is Tom. This is my bride, Melissa, and this is Estella Rain.
Estella. This is the first Estella I've ever met.
Me too.
Yeah, you too. Hello, sweetheart. Hello, sweetheart. And this is?
I'm Diana. This is my grandson, Christian, and my daughter, Danielle.
Awesome. Christian, nice to see you. Okay, so I'm going to turn my back to you guys for a moment, okay? I'll be back with you in a second. Because I'm going to talk just to them, but you guys can listen. So you're a witness to all of this, and you're going to hold them all accountable to these things, okay? So that means if they get out of line, you're going to get on them. You know, there is nothing in my, as I look back in my life, as precious as the children God gives us. The Bible says in Psalms that children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord, and blessed is the man or woman that has a whole quiver full. And so you're getting started on your quiver. But they are precious. They just turn your world upside down. I remember telling Ben, you know, when you're in love and you get married, you think this is everything. And then you have a child and you don't want to go to work. You know what I'm saying? You just want to stay home with the baby all the time. But God has given you a gift. But the question that I always like to lead young people through, young couples, is why did God give me this child and what does God expect? That's a good thing to know. And there's a passage that was sort of a guiding passage of scripture for me with my own four children. It comes from the book of Malachi, and it says this. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard yourself and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. God has a purpose for your children. And His purpose is that you and I would raise them for Him. That we'd raise them to know Him, that we would represent Christ well to them, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ, and they would learn to walk in the ways of God. Children do not become godly and well-trained by accident. Now, you might have a baby by accident, but after that, nothing happens in their life, in a sense, good by accident. Godly children are the result of diligent and sustained effort. And today we dedicate these children to Jesus Christ, and we dedicate you parents to the task of raising them to honor God and train them in godly Christian living. So if you've done this before, you've seen this before, I have some vows that I'm going to read and then have you repeat after me. And then we'll pray. We commit ourselves today to raise our child to know, to love, and to obey Jesus Christ. As parents, we commit ourselves to honor and obey God's Word, the Bible. We commit ourselves to raise and train this child that God may use them for His purposes. We understand this is our sacred responsibility. With God's help and strength, we will finish the job He has given us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You formed every one of these children in their mother's womb. You knew them from eternity past, from trillions and trillions of years ago. You knit them together. You chose the color of their eyes, the color of their hair, the exact time and place they would be born. And You gave them as a gift to these parents, and we offer them back to You tonight. God, I ask You that You would empower each parent here, each mother, each father, with strength, with grace, with courage to stand against this culture, to defy the world in which we live in, and to honor God as Moses' parents honored God. When Pharaoh demanded that the children and the sons be killed, they defied Pharaoh, and they raised a spiritual champion. And we ask You, Lord, that You'd empower each one of these parents. You'd give them each courage and strength and encouragement through the days, through the sleepless nights, through the sickness, through all the diapers, through all the little struggles they're going to have, the joys and the sorrows. May they never forget their purpose, their task, their sacred calling and responsibility. And may You bring each of these children into a saving relationship with You, and may they spend their lives knowing You, walking with You, and serving Jesus all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. You can be seated. So I have a short little message I always dedicate this evening to some message on families, on children. And tonight is called The Greatest Gift You Can Give Your Child. I'd like us to bow our heads for a moment as we pray. Father, we just thank You tonight for Your incredible plan of family, Your incredible plan of children. What a joy they are, Lord. What an extraordinary joy. What a blessing they are. The smiles they bring to us, the life lessons they give to us. Lord, You also know that a child can break a heart. We just ask you, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to understand your ways. Help us embrace your ways so that we would raise these children, not only as little toddlers, not only as preschoolers, not only in their adolescent years, but in those teen years, that their hearts would be God's, that they would have a heart of wisdom, and that they would have seen in us what it looks like to love and honor Jesus Christ in a real and authentic way. In Jesus' name, amen. If someone were to ask you, what is the greatest gift you could give a child? I wonder what might come to your mind. There's so many people today, you know, you look out on our culture. When I say our culture, I mean America, our neighborhood, our extended families, our friends. And people may say one thing with their mouth, but, you know, you can always tell what really matters to a person by how they live. Most Americans kind of believe in the two great gifts they give their children is material things and a good education. And while those things may have their place in our life, they're not the most important, nor they are the greatest. I deal with young people for a living. I've been doing this for a long, long time. And I have talked with literally thousands of young people, not only here, but around the country when I travel and when I interact with young people. And I've dealt with many that have come from very, very dysfunctional, very broken homes. And I can tell you that the three things I'm going to share with you tonight, they would give their right arm for. And you parents here tonight that are just starting with these young children, please mark this down. Go over this little message, because these three are the greatest things you can give your children: a loving, godly, Christ-centered home. I don't care if it's a trailer. I've lived in one. I lived in one and none of the windows open. And my children have pictures. We had lots of smiles, lots of joy, lots of happiness. I have lived in difficult situations. I have driven old jalopy cars. And even today, the newest I've ever owned is a 2000. I'm not saying that's spiritual. I'm saying you do not need material things to be happy. But these three things your children need: a loving, godly, Christ-centered home. And I'd like to explain what they are. First of all, number one, mom and dad, love each other. Honor each other and care for each other. I don't know if you realize this, but 1 John chapter 4, I'd like to read this text to you, tells us that God's love is revealed to your children, not by your love for your child, but your love for one another. When a child is really young, don't get me wrong, loving a child is very, very, very important. I would give my children my kidneys. If they needed my kidney, I'd give them a kidney. If they needed my home, I would move them in. If whatever I could do for my children or my grandchildren, I would do. And in many ways, they could tell you, I have done. But nothing is more important than my children witnessing my love and passionate devotion to the mama. Nothing. Now, I want to show you something in 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. No other place. Love does not come from the human species. Love does not come from our cold, dark, selfish hearts. Love flows from God. It starts with God and flows to us through Jesus Christ. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I want to say this again. You young people that have been here, you've heard me say this before, but love is not a feeling. Love is the way you choose to live your life. Love is about the characteristics that define you. As 1 Corinthians tells us, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking, does not demand its own way. Love is not proud or conceited or rude. Love endures all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love does not fail. That's the kind of love that God wants to bring into our hearts through Jesus Christ. And it's the kind of love our marriages desperately need. But we do not produce that love. God does, and he gives it to us to choose to live and show to others. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. See, the Bible describes to us what real love is. Not pseudo love, not Hollywood love, not phony love. Real love. Here it is. It is not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son to sacrifice, to take away our sins. Eh? Love is self-sacrificial. The kind of love that our children need to see between mom and dad is that kind of selfless love, that kind of sacrificial love that puts the needs of your spouse before your own. And here's what's interesting about the text. Dear friends, since God loved us this way, surely we ought to love each other. Now look at this. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love has been brought to full expression through us. In other words, reinterpret the text. Here's what it means. Your children are not seeing God. But when they witness the daily demonstration over a lifetime growing up in your home, in your presence, the love that you show towards one another, that self-sacrificial, affectionate, passionate, caring, selfless love, and care for one another, they see God. And they can actually see the authentic nature of God being revealed through the two of you. Children today are desperately crying out for the security that comes from being raised in a home where mom and dad love each other. They really love each other. And they set aside their own selfish interests. Listen, I'm a human being. I just celebrated 34 years with my wife on the 5th of May. We've had good times, bad times. I understand the cost. I want you to know I'm not speaking from platitudes here. I'm not the celibate priest guy. I've been in the arena. I still live in the arena. My wife's had all kinds of health challenges. There have been all kinds of times in my selfish nature. I just wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to go, I quit. I don't want to do this. You know, the little Janet Jackson song, What Have You Done For Me Lately, runs through my mind, too. Our kind of love, you know, is I love you because, well, you know, I'll meet you halfway, 50-50, but if you don't do your part, I'm not doing mine. What if God would have said that to us? What if God would have said, okay, oh, wait, I'll let Jesus come down halfway down to the sky, but if you guys don't repent right now, I'm not sending to the cross. He didn't do that. He died first. He laid down his life first for anybody believed. He sacrificed. And this is what I'm telling you. It's been an extraordinary 34 years married to the same woman. I've learned so many lessons. I've learned so much about God. She's the greatest blessing in my life. But there were many things we had to learn along the way to deny self. My children are all involved here. You could talk to them. You know them. They watched us work it out in real life, but they knew we loved each other. Secondly, show them what godly Christian living looks like and feels like through the way you live your life, putting the Bible into practice each and every day. There are many people, this is very important you understand this, there are many people brought up in a religious home. That can actually be very deadly. I'm not talking about religiousness. I'm talking about deep, authentic spirituality. I'm talking about an individual, a man and woman, who live and show Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in a situation, by the way, where you're a single parent. My mother was a single parent for the 6 siblings, for all 5 of my other children growing up, single mom. My sister, single mom. I have a tremendous heart and compassion for single parents. But you as a single parent, with the power of God, you can demonstrate to your child on a daily basis that I love Jesus Christ, that I'm going to honor God's word, that I'm going to live a godly, upright, righteous life. My daughter posted this the other day on her Facebook. It's from a version of the Bible called The Voice. James 1:22 says, put the word of God into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you're going to find you've been deceived. You know, how many families, I saw this growing up, went to church growing up, how many families you show up, you sit on Sunday morning, or you show up on Easter and Christmas, and that's it. That's the depth of your Christianity. That's the depth of your religiosity. And then you're out that door, and the children can tell the hypocrisy that's going on. Nothing devastates children as much as hypocrisy. Nothing. They begin to pick it up at a very early age. It's like they have built-in antennas, and they begin to see it. Christianity does not require that mom and dad be perfect, but it absolutely requires that mom and dad be humble enough to admit we aren't, and I'm sorry, and I sinned against you, and I fell short of that which I was aiming at. Please forgive me. And you pick yourself up, and you go after doing what's right again. But hypocrisy is devastating. Did you know? Did you know this fact? A giant survey of 80,000 people who call themselves Christians. 80,000. The vast majority of Christians, of those 80,000, own a Bible and never, ever read it. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This book is life. This book will reprogram and wash your mind. This book will help you understand the ways of God. This book will help you understand your responsibilities. This book will help you understand what God wants of you and the promises of God to empower you. And if you're not in it, you won't know it, and you will drift so fast. It is impossible to live a godly, upright life when you're not eating spiritual food on a daily basis. Your children need you to show them what it looks like. What it looks like to love God. What it looks like to live with integrity and humility and thankfulness and joy and putting the Bible into practice. You can do this. And yet I'm just telling you, I'm not exaggerating. I read all the statistics. The vast majority of children were never raised in a home like this. They were raised in a home where you went to church on the weekend and it was just a duty. It's just what we did. But there was no life. And it was clear that mom or dad in particular was more excited about the NFL than God. A mom's more excited about shopping or new patio furniture than God. Kids see that. You know, I've done the funerals of suicides. I've dealt with drug addicts. I've dealt with moms and dads who are devastated by a wayward child. Ask yourself this question. If you knew that there was tuberculosis loose at your school or something like that, what would you do to protect your child from getting that illness? What would you do? What lengths would you go to? Did you know what's more dangerous than tuberculosis, herpes, any other disease your child could get? Worldliness. The devil takes no prisoners. He'll devastate and destroy their life. He'll get them so in debt. He'll get them so addicted to alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, you name it. I could go down the list, and he would seek to destroy their life, and they will have an impossible time having a successful marriage or family. Worldliness scares me more than anything else. The philosophies of this world, with the fear of God, really, truly, with the fear of God, I pray over my children every single day and beg God to help me live a life worthy of him. Because I didn't want my children gutted out and left by the road to bleed out. Because they left the ways of God to follow the ways of, what did Jesus say? This wicked and perverse generation. Nothing scares me more. And I pray today, every day, for my 6 grandchildren as fervently as I did for my own 4 as they were growing up. Our children, I want to tell you, I go wrestle with my grandchildren like I'm My son told me, Dad, you're like, it's like you're 30. I mean, what you do with the kids, I love them. I play with them. I laugh with them. We have, I'm the donut dad. I bring donuts up. I take them to Culver's. I love them. But I got to tell you, it's so important, Mom and Dad, you understand. We're in a war. The world's coming after your kids. The philosophies of this world's coming after your kids. And they take no prisoners and they want to gut them out and leave them by the side of the road and destroy their life. There is nothing more serious, nothing, than raising your children for Christ and watching over their precious little lives and their moral development and their emotional development. Last thing I'd like to share with you is this. Put Jesus Christ at the very center of your heart and your lives. He must be Lord. He's not just God, he's Lord. That means he's master, he's ruler, and he's the leader of your life. I did not live my first 19 years with him as the Lord, leader, or ruler of my life. And I was right on the edge of destroying my life. There are times, even now, I've gone on walks. I just have a habit of getting up very early in the dark. And I go on long walks and I pray and I talk to God. And sometimes tears just flow down my face as I realize, Lord, I was just this close to walking away from you, walking away from the path of righteousness.